Welcome to the Love Cars on the Grid podcast, your global motorsport roundup with me, Tiffany Dell, and Paul Woodman.
Welcome to Love Cars on the Grid, your global motorsport podcast roundup. I'm very sorry for the delay this week. It's my fault because I'm in Morocco and I've been in the middle of nowhere, literally in the middle of nowhere. It's been a revelation having no mobile phone signal, no Wi-Fi, no nothing. Being with Mazda on the, and they call it the Epic Drives, and it was the most epic drive. So we'll come on to that on the normal channels in the coming weeks and whenever. But in the meantime, over to you, Tiff, for what's on the menu today.
Well, yeah, it might be Wednesday now, but it's still well worth looking back at last weekend. There wasn't much on, but what was on brought all sorts of great stories. I mean, we had the MotoGP boys out of America. They were the greatest entertainers last weekend, without doubt, again. The Formula E's were out, and they were the most confusing, lots of controversy again. Now, the NASCARs had the most crashes, so they got a nice crash fest to entertain those that want to be bashing. The British Rally Championship was on again, and it was the wettest down in Wales. And Goodwood, of course, was the most glorious place to be at the weekend.
And Caterham, of course, was kicked off at Spetterton.
Were they? Oh, yes. And Caterhams were the most Caterham of the weekend. But before that, there was a bit of news, of course, last week. Alonso's finally come out and signed for Aston Martin. So it's spoiled the fun, really, actually, because it's put him slotted. It seems to me that he obviously got the no from Red Bull and Mercedes, I reckon. So he probably decided. He's obviously got an amazing deal with Aston Martin, talks of him being an ambassador for all the years to come. So that's taken most of the fun out of it. But maybe and maybe why he's gone. There's always this, where's Newey going? This is the other new gossip stuff that people are playing around with. First of all, he's off to Ferrari with Lewis. And now maybe Alonso's gone to Aston because he knows that Newey's going to Aston Martin. But who knows? I doubt it. But there we go. So surely Sainz must go to Mercedes now. You were all thinking, they might keep this kid for another year or put him in a Williams, this young Italian boy. But that's what, the only other thing is Audi. Who's going to Audi is the big one that Inés Pérez has launched and drawn away and made a space. Who knows?
But maybe Sainz. But Pérez is, we've mentioned this the last couple of times.
I know he's now back in Red Bull.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit funny, but all more we revealed. But the more gossip was about these 2026 rules, more and more concern coming out. And Max, so this is the great thing about Max, in Las Vegas, he says what he thinks. I don't like what's glittery. And he says, he doesn't think active aero is the way to go in Formula One, even though it's going that way. But I mean, it's this thing that they've got to reach out, because the trouble is that they made the engine regulation first. So they pleased all the manufacturers by saying we're going to have 50% petrol and 50%, not petrol, 50% synthetic fuel and 50% for the electric. So electric's much more important. Then they found out that when they started to put them into the cars, they had this problem that they'd run out of electric power before the end of the straight when you're on full throttle trying to take 100%. So then they came up with the active aero, so they're going to be slippery down the straight, so they've got less air resistance. Then they found the cars would spin off down the straight, so now they're putting more active aero on. But it's all mayhem. Newey was interviewed talking a bit about it, and this is what he says, this is what fans are going to have to accept. And your Dakar history, actually, what listening to an Audi go by will give you a clue. Because he says, at the Lowe's hairpin at Monte Carlo, because you only need 50% power, because it's a very, very slow corner, so you won't be on full throttle. So you'll use your electric power around Lowe's hairpin. But your engine will be going on maximum revs. So you'll hear a car going around a hairpin corner with the engine screaming, charging the battery up.
Wow. Yeah, and you're right.
So with Dakar, of course, the Audis, every time they went by, all you heard was the engine roaring away because it was charging the batteries up that then made the wheels go round.
Wow.
So
why did they just make them lighter and smaller and
well they can't back? Because they want batteries, because they're obsessed with having the road relevance batteries.
Let me tell you about road relevance. I've just done 2 days, 1,000 miles 11 hours a day driving in Morocco. I have not seen one single electric car. The chances of electric cars coming to Africa are virtually zero. We can't get the infrastructure right in the UK. Mm. How are we going to do it in places like Africa? So let's just accept that it's almost certainly not going to happen. Certainly not in the timescales that people are saying.
And yet the Europeans, you know, this net zero, the British, and I mean, I've got a little man at Alpine this week, which is wonderful. So much fun. The engine pops and bangs. We haven't driven one. Have you driven one? The most joyous little toy. And apparently the next one is going to be all electric. You know, so we're cutting our noses to spite our faces. And the biggest irony is that China, the biggest polluter of the world, that's increasing its emissions, are about to make huge amounts of money swamping the rest of the world with cheap electric boxes. So they're going to make money out of us all going to net zero while they keep on doing...
Irony.
I know.
And yes, they have driven Alpine, as have you, because we had it on episode 6 of series 1 of the show.
We had Alpine
versus M2 versus Cayman.
Of course we did, yes.
Yeah.
And don't forget, we're still on Amazon Prime and we're going to start filming the third series. So keep looking at the old...
I think it's fair to say the hardcore people that watch and listen to this, thank you very much. I think they probably watched that. So thank you to everybody.
Well, tell your friends.
You can rate it, review it and share it.
Exactly. So that's what new is. It's going to be, it's going to look weird. And I reckon there'll be about 10 seconds difference in pole position and the people at the back that don't get this new science right. And then, of course, the other news was, you know, they talk about now Liberty and MotoGP. We're going to share weekends. I think Liberty have said it, the rumour gossip. Lewis has been going, yeah, that'd be epic, man. That'd be epic.
Lewis impression is brilliant.
You can't. You've already got maximum tickets sold out to watch the Formula One. You can't fill out more. You can't suddenly invite all the MotoGP fans because then there'd be not enough tickets to go around. So then they'll put the ticket price up. And so once again, the squeeze will be on.
Yeah, but like you said last week, quite rightly, Bahrain, Qatar, they don't sell out.
Yeah.
So that it could be those sort of places that benefit from
it. But will the track suit? I'm going to just the last bit of the news last week was a sad passing of Ted Tolman, who passed. He was 86 year old, and of course created the Tolman Grand Prix team, sponsored Formula 3 drivers. I raced for Tolman in Formula 2 on 3 races. So
oh wow.
A sad he's lost, and of course he put Senna, you know, the epic Senna in the wet at Monaco when he was heading for victory before the French put out the flags for Prost. So yes, Ted Tolman sadly passed away.
That's sad to hear. You mentioned Senna. Just read a fascinating little story about Senna because who was the Austrian that died? God, that's awful.
Ratzenberger.
Thank you. That race at Imola, apparently, I don't know whether there's any truth in this, you might know, but apparently Senna had hidden in his car an Austrian flag. And at the end of the race, he was going to fly that flag.
Yeah.
Wow. What? That's a bit creepy, isn't it? The irony of that as well.
But it's the other aspect of Ayrton, you know, that he did have so much compassion for his fellow drivers. You know, he was always the one, you know, if a car crashed, he was always stopping his car and getting out and, you know, checking the driver's rate. He always did have a huge compassion for his fellow racers. A wonderful man.
Yes.
But tell you, so back to the action of the weekend. As I said, only the three big weekends. But in Kota, this was the interesting thing that made me think about this sharing a race. The MotoGP boys went to Kota. And I thought this would be a good example of why you shouldn't share, because Kota's not a good bike track. Every time you have these tracks with huge Formula One runoffs, so you've got this massive asphalt everywhere, little motorbikes going out, they just look, and they don't usually get good racing. I don't know why most of them. And you sort of think MotoGP, it's always so exciting at their little tight, racy tracks they have, like Jerez, where they have Assen, that Dutch track. There's the German place, what's Sachsenring, little pit bull of a track.
Yeah,
they're so exciting because the crowds are close. So I always thought, well, yeah, but they don't really work in Grand Prix tracks anyway. And it was almost proved in the support race. I'm thinking, this is not a good track for MotoGP, because the little Moto3s, they spread out quite quickly. This Colombian, who's the new kid that's going to be following the other new kids we've got, we'll talk about later, It just seems to be the star of Moto3 this year, David Alonso, who broke away from the pack, which hardly ever happens in Moto3. There was a good battle for only three bike pack were fighting for seconds. There's a small matter pack, but basically they were all spread out. Also, they're falling down a lot. And I think when you have those huge runoffs with a MotoGP, you probably feel a lot safer. So I think they were making more and more crazy moves. There was a wonderful comedy moment that should be on YouTube forever. When one guy, he locked up and dived up the inside, took another bike down. So two bikes are now on the ground. One bike speared off away from the scene of the crash. She had two riders. And all of a sudden, the rider left on the track with his bike was suddenly seen running away from his bike towards the other guy. So that we're going to get a punch up here. This is good. He's so angry. He was the one that was taken out. But when he got to his bike, he found the other rider already on it. Because apparently he'd ridden for that team last year or something. So the guy was getting on the wrong bike. So he wasn't running over to punch him, buddy. He was running over to say, "Oi, mate, you're on my bike. Get off." That was a lovely moment. But
that's like when Lewis Hamilton just started for Mercedes and he went in the McLaren pit.
It's just instinct, isn't it?
Anyone that's moved house, you get off the motorway and you're sort of driving home on autopilot and then you go down towards your old road. You think, "Oh, what am I doing?" But
They were going down. Like, sadly, Scott Ogden was another one that fell of the many that fell. He got up to ninth. I mean, one of his best races, was probably trying to get close up even more, but he went down. Josh Watney finished 17th. Moto2 again was spread out. So I think, see, look, it's not a bike track, it won't work. Jake Dixon was back after his injuries, but he was another fell in the race and recovered to 23rd. Spain's Sergio Garcia won it from the front, chased by the American Joe Roberts, which gave the Americans a bit of excitement. Joe, go Joe, but he couldn't catch up. Someone thinking, yeah, you see, it doesn't work. So, but the Grand Prix itself turned out to be one of the most exciting for years. It was just epic racing. And it started in qualifying because Maverick Vinales, who's been this Aprilia bloke for since 2021, but he hasn't won on an Aprilia. So he won his last Grand Prix win was on a Yamaha in 2021. And he switched to Aprilia. And Aprilia's been steadily getting better and better. And of course, he won the sprint race in Portugal. So he had a win. And he qualified on pole. Aprilia seems to have got his aero going better than the others. The front of the bike now is the most scientific bit of winglets and wings. Terrible, really, but there we go. So he was on pole. And then Pedro Acosta. We talked about as Alonso boy in Moto3. He's going to be the next Pedro, in my opinion. He qualified second. He finished third in Portimao on his satellite KTM. He put it second on the grid. Then also good for the story was that Marc Marquez in his satellite Ducati was third on the grid, the head of the factory Ducatis. While Jorge Martin, who's won most of the sprints, the sprint hero, fell in qualifying. He was qualified sixth. But then again, although there's exciting qualifying, the sprint was dull. So there you go, you see. They don't work. They spread out on such a big open track. But Vinales did win from the front, won the sprint, so that was all over. I thought he was second. Marquez was second in the sprint. Jorge Martin back to third, with Acosta fourth. So he got pushed back. Cheeky kid, second qualifying, finished fourth. But the race itself, the first half, it was one of the most best. I mean, the commentators were just drooling over the excitement. And they were like a Moto3 pack. There was a pack of eight MotoGP riders on all sorts of different bikes. It was made better because Vinales got pushed wide at the turn one. So Poleman, who won the sprint so easily, he was down in 11th at the end of the first lap. But we had this race going on now. I mean, Acosta went to the lead. So Acosta starts leading. And then Marc Marquez was leading. I don't know who else was leading. And they're all overtaking it. There was just a scrap. And the camera work in MotoGP is so epic because they got front cameras and back cameras. And when this pack was so close, they were just going from looking at the rider right behind and then snapping to the same on the board with that
amazing
man, looking into his rear tire. You think, "I'm going to hit." You're almost scared that you're going to hit the rear tire. You think he's going to hit the rear tire. But it was just amazing race. They were just swapping places. Yeah, Marquez got to the big American fan. You could hear the crowd roaring on for Marquez. But he was he locked up the front going into the hairpin before the long straight, and down he went, crashed out to the lead. But apparently he was having brake issues. He was having to pump the clutch. It wasn't working, so he's pumping away like a poor old, I've had many times in racing cars. So that was a shame. But, you know, the commentary team, the best commentary team out, led, of course, you know, by Susie Perry of the pits, Neil Hodgson and Gavin Emmett, they were just looking at Pedro Acosta. And they were saying, like, you know, if you followed us on Love Cars, we've been talking about Acosta as we cover motorbikes for the past 4 years, saying, you know, he's going to be the thing. But, you know, Gavin, they would just say, well, we all knew he was going to be. No, he was going to become. He might get a podium this year. And they were just looking at his riding style and the way he's, you know, he was dive bombing the world champion. He doesn't care how famous he's racing against either. You know, he comes up the inside. Anyway, in the end, Maverick Vinales fought slowly back through from 11th and got back to the lead and won his first Grand Prix since 2021 on an Aprilia. So that was great news. Who came? And Pedro Acosta came second, held on to come second. Amazing ride. Bastianini on the factory Ducati managed to get through to third. But he was dicing against his teammate. He was standing him up and up. It was just epic entertainment. So all my thoughts of Circuit of America's not being a good bike track have gone out the window. But then you couldn't add bikes to Formula One because Formula One fills quota. I mean, the Americans love Formula One.
Yeah, but it's only going to be certain places if they do it at all.
Yeah.
To get bums on seats.
So Susie and the team, thank you yet again for the most entertaining motorsport of the weekend. Where we have to move from
Formula
there.
E.
I have to report on it. I watch it. So, you know, I'm not just rubbishing it. I do try to watch it. But of course, they went to Misano for the first time, a proper racing track, a smallish racing track. You know, Formula 2 have been there, Formula 3. And it's this moving away from cities, which is a bit against their whole unique spec. So I don't know why they want to do it. But of course, it was a proper racetrack like Portland, the American one, where they have to do massive amounts of regen because they can't drive on a proper track for that long without running out of power. And when Formula E started, I used to call it slow bicycle racing because everyone's just backing off, you know, to save power. They don't want to lead. They have to slipstream. And they've now called it peloton racing. That sounds like a fancy word, but and that's, of course, what the cyclists do. They sit in a pack, slipstreaming, yep, saving energy. So it's now this new fancy name they think sounds good, but it's a slow bicycle race.
But we've always said that these drivers are some of the best drivers in the world. They are phenomenal. It's not the drivers. It's just the format.
But the trouble is they all run around, you know, this pack of five, but it just looks silly. No, nobody wants to lead. It was the first one, the second. They have two weekend races. The first day was 28 laps. So they're all back. And I think they started racing at about lap 24. So you're like 24 laps and they're all knocking their wings off. I notice sometimes they dive down the outside. Looks like they're breaking incredibly late. But in fact, all they're doing is having a longer regen before they then have to pull back into the pack.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were knocking their wings off left, right and centre because they're all so close. Those stupid wings. It looked like a flat pack designed by a child, doesn't it? I'll stick one piece there, one piece there.
Yeah.
Because they don't give much aero downforce. You can ride the car probably without the wing and go just as quick. But all sorts of them having their wings knocked. The most excitement off they went and knocked me wing off. So while they're jostling.
What's your name? Bloody Adrian Newey all of a sudden? How do you know they don't give motor downforce?
Because they don't go any slower when they've knocked them off. Anyway, Felix da Costa managed to win. Felix da Costa.
Can I just say, some of the fast circuits with Caterham, like Silverstone, if you got your wing off, it's better because they
are less drag. And there's bicycle wings. Yeah, they're not bicycle.
Exactly.
But through it all, it was Felix da Costa who's been in trouble because he hasn't been scoring any points. There's rumours he might get replaced soon. He came through to win it. And Oliver Rowland has been consistent all year, and the Nissan came second, and Jake Dennis came through. But I think Jake Dennis qualified 17th, and it's mad. Dan Tipton was fourth. Dan, we always forget, poor old Dan, he's still struggling away. And he's ERT. I don't know what that team is, but the actual car's called an ERT. But then in the end of the day, poor old da Costa, having finally won, was disqualified because more bad press for the poor old Formula E. Because his damper, they got a damper, throttle damper in the throttle system, and apparently it was deleted from the Gen 2, but it wasn't Hyla. They said they've been using it all season. Doesn't make any difference. There's a Porsche boss, he was pretty upset, actually. It's actually the Porsche boss said, not all teams are treated equally. you know, stirring up the pot. But then the second race on the next day was only 26 laps. So they actually started racing a bit before the end. They probably went for about 18 laps before they said, right, they're waiting for the team to say, you've got enough power, race. And so the people in all this peloton work that managed to save the most power end up being the ones that race towards the finish line. But it was rather strange because it was Oliver Rowland that went out and was the first to sprint away from the peloton. We're all thinking, how come he's got so much power left? And so he was cruising to victory. Then on the last lap, he just slowed up. He ran out of power. So all the commentators were baffled. Me and a spectator on the telly, we were baffled because they know how much power they've got. How come they've miscalculated because of the computer? And it turns out that Roland's car, somehow, when it went onto the dummy grid or onto the parade lap, the computer ticked a lap off. So whereas everyone else's computers were going for a 26-lap race, he, in effect, was going for a 25-lap race. So he had more power. I said on Twitter to Karun that towards the end of the races, they show on the telly how much power everyone's got left. So you can see someone's got 4%, someone's got 6%. So you see who's managed to save a bit more. But it would appear that the Nissan computers and all the Nissan engines, they've got these garages full of, you know, 12 bloody engineers looking at their laptops and everything else. That if you've got three laps, if it's 4% per lap, say, so with two laps to go, you'd need 8%. He would have only had four. Now, surely they would have seen that. And I said this on a tweet to Karun, and Karun just said, yeah, I can't understand it either. And yet when they interviewed the Nissan bloke, that sort of, they didn't put that question in. You know, with three laps to go, you need 12%. He must have had 8%.
I'll ask the question in a couple of weeks. I'm off to Monte Carlo with Cupra. So I'll ask them for Formula E.
The other Porsche one, Pascal Wehrlein, came through because he couldn't believe why Roland had disappeared. Poor Da Costa was, after having his wind taken away from him, he was yet another to have his stupid nose chopped off. They stick out wider than the front wheels and they don't, ridiculous. Why they design these things? Jake Dennis had another second position. So it was a Porsche first and second because Jake Dennis has got the Porsche powertrain. Anyway, it looks stupid again. Sorry, Formula E, but you know.
I'm going to get lynched when I go to Monaco, aren't I? They're going to say, you work with that bloody Nadal bloke.
Look, I'm merely observing what I see and speaking about it.
We've
NASCAR.
Been speaking about Formula E since it came out, and we've been trying to be enthusiastic and positive about it, it's not proper racing. Some of the best drivers in the world. It's just the format isn't quite right because you don't racing. You want to be flat out
it's an energy conserving formula. And of course, all the Formula E people would say, oh yeah, it's been Formula One. They have to lift off. Yes, occasionally in Formula One, you have to lift off by 1% of
your tires.
Occasionally,
yeah. Yeah.
Over okay, NASCAR. NASCAR, where they never lift off. Boy, they
crash bang wallops.
It was around the 1.5 mile Texas track. Amazing track. And it's got a bump in it. Oh, the Formula One boys would have gone mental. So there was a bump in the middle of turn three. And poor old Jimmy Johnson, who's coming back and doing a part program, the great Jimmy, he was the first to lose control on the bump. Because it's just when you're trying to get back onto full throttle and you hit a bump and you lose the rear end. But there are loads of them doing it. About half a dozen were in the wall. So plenty of yellow flags and cautions. Kyle Larson, we have to talk about Kyle for a bit. And you know I know I love him because he's the best of the five. He was on pole and just was running away with the race. But more importantly, he had his Indy test last. He was down at Indianapolis testing for the 500. And he was, I know he had a bit of a toe, second fastest round Indy, warming up to his Indy 500. It was a sort of general practice that if you've got a good toe, they sort of say, well, he got a toe. But lots of other drivers got a toe as well. And even if it was,
he still did it.
So, I mean, this man is just epic. But, so he led the whole way, dominated for the first third of the race, almost half of the race. And they just had a yellow, so he'd been in, got his four new tyres on, gone out, got back to the lead. After about 6 or 7 laps was another yellow, but he's raced flat out for 6 or 7 laps, 190 miles an hour. In fact, he was interviewed before saying, people are asking me, you know, I'm a bit scared doing 230 miles an hour around Indy. So I said, I can assure you, 190 miles an hour in Alaska around Texas Speedway is way more scary. So all of a sudden, they slowed back down again, back from full course yellow, and all of a sudden his wheel fell off. His rear wheel, just the hub came off.
Wow.
So, and that's a two-lap penalty. If you lose a wheel in the racing now, because they got this new centre single hub, the old good days, the five studs have gone. But the anyway, oh, that was so good. So he was out of it. So that was no good. So we lost Kyle. So in the end, it was his teammate. So the same team, Chase Elliott won. And another great story, because Chase Elliott's they have this vote that he's the most popular NASCAR driver in America. And he's also with the Hendrick team with Chevrolet. So he had his first win for 42 races. That was quite emotional. And he won it. They had three green-white checkers at the end. But in fact, the first one was in the race. Three laps to go, and Elliott was well out the front. Someone crashed. Yellow. And Dirty Den was the first one on the restart to try and check him. And Dirty Den tried to hang on around the outside coming out of turn three. And I think it was after the bump. The commentators were saying, but he lost it. To the joy of the crowd, Den was in the wall backwards. Then there was another green-white check. And Ross Chastain was now, the Mellon Man, was the man on front row of the group with trying to chase Elliott.
Very good. Very good.
Anyway. Ross couldn't manage either. He was put in the wall by who did he put in the wall by? I forget now. Anyway, he ended up in the wall, and then he ended up winning. So it was very entertaining, very exciting, lots of stuff going on. So that's NASCAR, and then really we had back home in Welsh Wales in the rain and the mist. I'm not saying that always happens in Welsh Wales. So we had round two of the Pro Bike British Rally Championship, and we're just hoping, you know, we got some talented drivers, we can get more publicity for them to get up into these factory seats. And Ocean Price, the Welshman, won the Seven Valley stages in his Fiesta. Another Fiesta was second, William Crichton, and round one winner Chris Ingram was third in the Volkswagen Polo. And Ingram still leads the championship up two rounds, William Crichton second, and Price now third. All very exciting. And more interesting, perhaps, to our Formula One fans who are thinking, why are you talking about rallying? Verstappen only finished eighth. Now, what about that? It was, of course,
different Verstappen.
Joss Verstappen. Dad. Dad's doing a bit of rallying. Max's dad. And he was 4.5 minutes off the leaders. But yeah, he said he wanted to see how to do it. He's in a Skoda doing rallying.
So, Skoda.
Good for Joss.
Skoda.
Sorry, Skoda. So
and
good
finally, last but not least,
yeah, Glorious Goodman, Kate. Tiffany Dale finished 15th in the Ford Mustang race.
How was the Mustang?
Wild. I got put on the grass running up to turn one by Marino Franchitti. It was probably put into me by someone else. I was banging the door. I want to come back on that track, Marino. And he was probably saying, yeah, but I can't move to the right because there's two more Mustangs. So I dropped back at the start and handed over to my
boss. Where did you qualify?
No, we only qualified the 18th. It was so competitive. So the trouble is the drivers are getting more and more young drivers are getting good book nowadays. It used to be for sort of us funny old boys having a bit of fun. So, but it was the weather was great. Lots of racing.
Was the car competitive? Any? Can you blame the
car? Was quick.
Car was quick.
Tire management was a bit, you know, which tires you have on. Was you new? We put new tires on in qualifying. And young Brundle was telling me that that was a problem. So
he's good. Alex Brundle, obviously very
good.
That was
wonderful. He was running his own team now. He's got his own motorsport team. They finished second.
He's good at commentating as well. He's very knowledgeable. He's different to his dad. And he's not there because of his dad. He's there on merit.
Really, he can't get a driver because his dad, you know, he's trying to get LMP2s. They all want huge amounts of money. He wants to send
so many people can't get drives.
So he set up a business.
Owen Middleton, who's at Mazda, he's one of our hosts. He did a lot of racing when he was young. He did LMP2. He did a lot of stuff.
He was quick. Yeah.
Yeah, and just same as a lot of people. If you haven't got a father or whatever that's lucky enough to pay for your motoring, I don't see there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. You just got to rely on sponsors. Speaking of which, if anyone wants to sponsor our Caterham racing team, please apply within. And we should finish on Caterham, really, Tiff. It was Snetterton. Amazing weather. I wasn't there. I was in Morocco.
How's the PR? Who's the press man? Who's the media man taking your place then? How did he get on?
Well, it's...
Was it media woman?
Actually, Academy, it is a woman. Remember Sam Parker? Oh my goodness, I got a call. Hopefully that's going to... Are we still here? Are we still live?
Yes, I'm so still sorry. With you.
It was Sam Parker, you know, from Parker Motorsport. So,
yes, you said, yeah.
She's been... but it, what Academy weren't there, so it was just the Road Sport 270, 310. But Freddie Chiddix and Mark Jones, who went up to 310, they are really struggling. They, you know, Freddie Chiddix is like 10th place. Whoa. He said it is so tough. There's some amazing drivers, and it's very similar to 270. I felt sorry for Megan Bruce. She does GP4 now. Young lady driver, very, very quick, but she got a tap going into, what's the first hairpin? So turn one at Snetterson, then
Rich
the hairpin.
Is in turn one, and the hairpin, I don't know.
Yeah, the hairpin, and she got a tap, went on the grass. Oh my goodness, she went straight through and took out the leader and the hot favourite to win the championship, Ben Timmons, in the first race. So
put on the grass under braking, you mean? Yeah, then T-bone.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah, but literally just, you know, like 80 miles an hour job, but whatever it was. But so it's going to be tight in all the championships, but it's good to watch. I love watching the Caterham racing, and I'll be there. They're going to Zandvoort next, and we'll be there at Silverstone, which will be great.
Good. Yes. But this weekend, Mass is on this weekend. Not many events last weekend, but they've still brought plenty of stories. This weekend is, I don't know, that's about a 2-hour podcast, I think, next Monday. Because there was the Formula One boys in Shanghai. haven't been there since, oh, I don't know, was it 2019 or something? So they don't know what to expect. The track was very bumpy, which they all moan about always. So it's been resurfaced. But it's a good overtaking track with DRS, of course, but it's got that huge long straight into a tight hairpin. And of course, it's also the first sprint of the weekend, which Max is moaning about because, you know, going back to a fresh track and not having FP2, you know, it's a bit of a challenge for them. So he says we might get, you know, you don't know who's going to come out on top. So it was good for us. Might mix the pack up a bit.
No, it won't.
They've changed the schedule, which I don't know what it was last year. But they're having FP1 on the Friday and then the sprint quali on the Friday. I don't know what it was before. They call it the sprint shootout. Why do they call it a sprint shootout? It's sprint qualifying shootout. A shootout is when you race head-to-head in some sort of format. Anyway, idiots. Another Saturday, we've got the sprint race first and then qualifying for the Grand Prix second. And that's at 8 a.m. So the only thing, most of it's in the middle of the night. But if you wanted to get up at all, quali's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning and then the race is 8 o'clock on Sunday morning.
So, I love all this absolute bollocks, and I'll say that about, oh, we're going carbon neutral and Sky come up with, oh, we're going net zero. And 2 weeks ago, they were in Japan. They've all buggered off in their private jets, all back to wherever, Monaco and LA and whatever. And now they're all going back again. It's just such a load of rubbish. I don't care, but good for them.
I know. But around the world, I mean, just everywhere around it. We've got IndyCar at Long Beach, which is always a spectacular race. Where also the IMSA sports cars are at Long Beach. I mean, what a doublehead. If you're out in America, it's a great event to go and watch. You get both those two formulas, which, of course, the sports cars growing bigger and bigger. The World Endurance Championship is on the same way at Imola in Italy. So World Endurance on. World Rally Championship in Croatia. World Superbikes at Assen, that track I mentioned earlier, which is such a great bike track. Always spectacular racing. British Superbikes opened the British Championship in Spain. They're at Navarro.
Where's Navarro?
I think it's up north, isn't it, somewhere? Isn't it? Okay. Sort of in the Rioja region. I think it's up that sort of way. NASCAR's one of the highlight weekends. The Talladega, baby. Talladega Nights. There will be crashing. There will be big crashing. But there will be boring 2 hours of just a pack of cars all at 200 miles an hour playing. Call it Peloton. Formula E. They're copying Formula E, NASCAR. They're doing 200
miles an hour. Yeah, but at least it's flat out. Peloton. It's flat out.
No. And then the supercar down in Oz, the supercars are back with a bit of a story there because the champion fell out with his team, this Brogy Kostecki. There was lots of drama over the winter. They wouldn't talk to each other and they split and nobody would say why. And the Erebus team were holding strong. And it looks like it was a row over a sponsor. You had to take a sponsor off his helmet and he wouldn't. And then he did and then he wouldn't. But anyway, good for the Aussies that Brody's back at Taupo.
At least he's got a bloody sponsor.
Oh, don't keep moaning about your sponsor. It's not yours. If you didn't spend so much time swanning around North Africa with Mazda.
I working.
You'd have more time.
I'm working, thank you very much.
Why don't you send another co-presenter on the Jollies and you can stay at home and find your sponsorship. Mind you, I wouldn't have missed Goodwood for a Mazda in the desert. I'm sorry, Mazda. It would have been a lovely invitation. So Mass is on next weekend and I look forward to seeing it all. You're going to come home now.
Yeah, we're going to the airport right now. So thanks for joining. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.